What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great little song by Steppenwolf to open the show on a Thursday. And Crowder is running just a few minutes late. He will be here before this first segment ends. And we have a loaded potato for you on this Thursday. Will Manso is going to join us. Have some Heat stuff to talk about. And Dolphin stuff as well, of course. Danny Cannell is going to join us today. A college football national championship coming up on Monday. Got a kid named Carson Beck going to be the quarterback at the U. And we got a lot of stuff to talk to Danny Cannell about. So last night the Heat lost, but really all that anyone in Heat Nation's talking about today is the return of the Vice jerseys. So it was actually like a fortuitous night for the Heat to lose, because they usurped the loss this morning by announcing the Vice jerseys are back. And that actually gives us good ammo for our own show. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know Solana's already
really doesn't
shaking his head. Man. Solana was trying to pull a little okey-doke before I went on the air to make me forget really about the Vice unis. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to give me ammo about Jimmy,
yeah,
something that we could go in on Jimmy about, but trust me, Jimmy, you're not off the hook, because there's definitely some legs to the information that has been shared with me by Alejandro Solana. I will not get into, I have a lot of stuff that I want to get to at some point today. You know, you and I, Solana, I was off yesterday. You and I spoke Tuesday about lack of nachos on the Funky Buddha menu.
Correct.
And we've spoken about it before with Crowder as well. I've always said that's like one of the biggest omissions. I don't understand how a brewery or a sports bar, they probably don't want to be called a sports bar, right? Funky Buddha?
No, they're a brewery, for sure, a brewery.
A brewery.
Yeah.
So, but it's a brewery. It's a beer house, right? Isn't that what a brewery is? Like a
yeah, but they brew their beer there. They have like the big right. brewers,
right?
I don't know what you call
it. It's cool.
Them.
It's like, cool. Yeah. But it's not like it feels sports bar-ish when you walk in. They've got cornhole games in the back. They've got video games. Like,
oh, they advertise like come watch games here. Like it's a sports bar, but there's like classes to it.
And I've always found that it's a weird omission that they don't have nachos on the menu. And we've addressed it a few times on the show. And we seem to be, but you and I really went into it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And even Gino Toretta had texted us, hey, I don't get it. Nobody orders nachos at a sports bar anyway, which is the weirdest take of all time.
Crazy.
I mean, honestly, the weirdest take of all time. I would imagine wings and nachos are the two highest sellers at any sports bar, certainly during like sporting events, right?
100%.
Flanagan's, like during a Dolphins game.
100%.
What's the thing being ordered most? It's got to be wings and nachos.
French fries, wings, nachos. Period. End of story.
So don't understand. And Funky Buddha has wings and French fries on the menu. For whatever reason, they don't have nachos. And so I was again bringing it up on Tuesday, and we're almost at this point where they're starting to actually think about introducing nachos or hakchos as I've been affectionately calling them. Casey actually came up with that term. But I want to talk about that further today. I don't want to get too into the weeds at the beginning of the show, but I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Vice Unis and how that correlates with next month, which is February. And maybe we started a little bit early today. And today on the show sheet as well, which I would get into, except I'm having a little bit of an issue. So on the show sheet, it says on this day in 1977, McDonald's introduced breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's another show moment that we have, hotcakes versus pancakes, which I love. But I have looked for corroboration since I saw the show sheet about an hour ago that today is actually the day McDonald's introduced breakfast in 77. And I can't find that anywhere.
Are you suggesting that the show sheet is not accurate?
Right, because normally it is the Bible of factual nuggets. Oftentimes the birthdays are off by a day or two, the ages are off by a year or two, but generally the movie releases are off, you know, a couple years here and there. I just can't find any corroboration that McDonald's introduced breakfast on this day.
Well, I have your corroboration for you. In 1977, McDonald's added a breakfast line to its national menu. So they launched their
In 1977.
In 1977 on this day, and that included...
But where do you see on this? That's what I'm taking issue with. I've seen a million in 1977s. Where do you see January 16th?
Well, why wouldn't it be January 16th?
Because I've looked at the McDonald's website. This is the stuff that I fact check. I've looked everywhere to corroborate this is the actual day. Why this is so important to me, I don't know. I cannot find corroboration, and I don't know if we just made it up and put it on this day on the show sheet, and you've been, you know, copy and pasting it for the last 10 years.
I'm going to find this because
I hope you will.
Quite frankly, I'm a little disgruntled that you would... assume that I would just take liberties
Didn't
with the show sheet.
Just looking for a little corroboration.
Okay. All right. I will get to the bottom of this. And my guess is I will find a tweet that lets us know that on this day, McDonald's introduced breakfast. And I will be exonerated. And I'm very much looking forward to that moment.
I hope so. I will apologize wholeheartedly if that is the case. Bob Uecker passed away today at the age of 90. Bob Uecker is a baseball legend, not because of what he did on the field, because he was like a 200 hitter, but he had a tremendous broadcast career. He was broadcasting Brewers games last season, and he passed away today at the age of 90. He was in several television shows and movies and famously those Miller Lite commercials. So Bob Uecker passed away. And also, if you're a fan of David Lynch and sci-fi, David Lynch passed away this afternoon as well. He created Twin Peaks, not the restaurant, but the television series Twin Peaks, if that resonates with anyone. Anywho, he did lose last night. What time does Jimmy Butler meet with Mickey Arison today?
I have no idea. I don't know if a time was set. I'm interested in that. Like, what time...
You don't know if a time was set? You think they just said, hey, see you Friday?
I don't know if a time was reported.
Ah, much different. Mm-hmm. Because I would imagine a time had to have been set. They're both pretty important, busy people,
well,
wouldn't you think?
I don't know. I mean, does Jimmy really have much going on right now? He's at a coffee shop, you know, pouring some lattes.
Boy, your tune has changed on this guy, man. How your tune has changed.
I mean, he's not trying on the hardwood, you know? What are you doing?
So we don't know of a time, but I am interested because Jimmy and Mickey Arison either have met or are going to meet at some point today. And I think that'll give us once we start to get some reports there, some idea of what direction this is all going in.
I would imagine it's around this time. Here's how I pictured it in my mind. Mickey Arison wakes up. Of course, he has somebody put his slippers and robe on for him.
Of course.
Heads over to Carnival HQ. Wait, he's got to try some of the new buffet offerings that are going to be on the new Carnival ship.
Right.
Then jumps on a Zoom call with Shaq just to see how things are going with that endorsement. And then
Shaq and Carnival.
Gotcha. Shaq and Carnival. Mm-hmm. And then he heads over to the Kaseya Center, has his lunch. Somebody feeds him that, of course. And then, you know, once Jimmy Butler's done serving lattes and whipping up frappuccinos, then they'll sit down for an interview.
Len doing his own research. McDonald's introduced its breakfast menu in 1972. Now you have 1977 on this day. Now we've got a 5-year discrepancy.
Now, the Egg McMuffin, I read about 1972 because McDonald's has a whole history about their breakfast.
Right. It's
release.
Pretty well documented,
it is.
Right?
It is, yeah. And in 1972.
Right. Nowhere does it say January 16th, as well documented as it is.
In 1972, the Egg McMuffin enters test markets, and it costed 63 cents.
It what?
It cost 63 cents.
They said it costed.
No.
Did he say costed, Jimmy?
He said costed.
Yeah, I thought he did. So it costed how much?
All right. I'll find it. Don't worry, Hawk. I'll find it. I don't want to jeopardize the integrity of this show. So if I got something wrong.
Well, that's why I'm not going to play hotcakes if today's not actually the day. No. And I don't think today is actually the day.
Huh. All right. That's where we're drawing the line. But yeah, if I get something wrong, I'm the first one to let everybody know that I got something wrong.
Is that so?
Yeah, I'm the first one. I'll let you know. I got something wrong, but I don't believe I did. I know I read this somewhere, and I will get to the bottom of it.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. Let's get headlines, because Will Manso is going to join us. Let's get headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
The Heat did lose last night, Hawk. January 15th, 2025, in L.A., they end their 6-game road trip.
Kind of January 16th.
Not in L.A.
Eastern time.
Not in L.A.
Right, but Eastern time.
Yeah. They end their road trip 3-3. It's going to be one of these kind of shows, huh? Can't wait.
If you get everything wrong, what am I going to do? I'm just going to sit here and let you say costed?
3-4 was their record during the 7-game Jimmy Butler suspension.
I don't think that's anything to be ashamed about, to be quite honest. Losing Jimmy Butler, going on the road for that long, I did not. If you had asked me, I would have said 1-6, 2-5. So,
had I told you 3 weeks ago, hey, the Heat are going to go on a 6-game road trip out west without Jimmy Butler, they're going to go 3-3. You probably would have been like, okay, that sounds okay. Yeah. But yesterday, don't get it twisted. Yesterday, huge miss opportunity. You blow another 30-plus point Tyler Hero game. You turn the ball over 20 times yesterday, and nobody outside of Tyler scores more than 12 points. Like, it's a shame because Tyler's playing unbelievable basketball. He had 22 points yesterday in the first half. Your team shoots outstanding from the field. And then, like, I know it's LeBron and AD, Hawk, but the Heat should have won that game, man. They should have won.
Ira Winderman, speaking of Tyler Hero, by the way, Ira Winderman tweeted out about an hour ago, the NBA has just released the third round of fan balloting for all-star starters. Tyler Hero, who was 10th in voting for the two East starting backcourt slots last week, is again 10th in voting. So that doesn't bode well to be a starter. Jimmy Butler is 7th. For one of the three East front court slots, Bam Adebayo not in the top 10 in voting.
Yeah. That's fair. Hasn't been a great offensive season for Bam Adebayo.
No.
The Heat back at home, as Hawk mentioned. Tomorrow, the Vice jerseys were reintroduced today. They're going to replace the white Heat jersey for the rest of the season.
Cool.
What used to be the home white jersey, the white Heat jersey, will be replaced for the rest of the season. Debut tomorrow versus Denver. That game will be at 8 p.m. at the Kaseya Center. Panthers back on the ice at the Amerant Bank Arena. That's against the Detroit Red Wings. A 7 p.m. puck drop tonight versus Detroit.
All right.
Is it possible that a tweet was posted on this day? And I perhaps got a little confused.
100%. It happens a lot. So a lot of those retro sites will say, and maybe the site itself is called On This Day or something.
Right.
But the site will say something along the lines of, in 1977, McDonald's introduced its breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. In 1971, G.I. Joe was the top-selling toy. But it doesn't necessarily say the date.
Yeah, because I just found the tweet, literally.
Mm.
Retro yeah, News
I found
Now.
It as well. I didn't want to tell you, but I found it as well.
Posted. Because
that's how I corroborate.
Posted at 1:13 p.m. on January 16th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
In 1977, McDonald's introduced its first national breakfast menu, which included hotcakes, sausage, Egg McMuffin, scrambled eggs, hash brown, Danish, orange juice, and coffee.
Now, if we want to declare this the day that we celebrate it, I'm fine. But let's just update the show sheet for future years.
Mm-hmm.
On this date, the Hockman and Crowder show celebrates the nationwide release of McDonald's breakfasts.
That's fair. That's fair. I will say, I was wrong about it being introduced specifically on this day. However,
fantastic.
4 years ago today, I read that mm-hmm. tweet, and it turned into one of the most iconic best ofs in show history.
Right.
So, in my opinion, I wasn't really wrong. It all worked out okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. Hocken, Crowder and I went through some of the lines yesterday, by the way, for the NFL games. I don't know if you've looked at them over the past couple
days. I haven't really looked at them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because...
What's the Buffalo Baltimore line?
Ravens minus one.
Ravens minus one on the road.
On the road.
That's wild, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But some of the other ones are crazy, too. Kansas City... At home against Houston, 8.5-point favorites.
I was going to say, that's got to be around 7 or 8.
Yeah. Detroit, did you see that against the Commanders at home?
I'm going to say, man, Washington looked good, though. I think a lot of people were surprised by that. I'm going to say Detroit 4.
Detroit minus 9.
9?
9.
I can't lay 9.
Yeah.
Nope.
That went up, too. I think yesterday it was 8.5. And then this one is surprising. Rams beat a 14-win team in the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
They're on the road in Philly. What are you doing? Yeah, 4.
I mean, were they really a 14-win team?
You put the mortgage on the Vikings. What are you doing?
That's because Crowder talked me into it. I said to you that day, I kind of like the Rams here. And Crowder was adamant. Oh, no, the Vikings, Sam Darnold, blah, blah, blah.
The Rams are 6-point dogs in Philadelphia.
Man, I kind of want to take the Rams and the points there as well, but I've doubted Philly all season long, and I've gotten burned by them all season long.
Yeah. It's because of what happened last year. We saw them suck at the end of last year, and we're like, oh, Philly stinks, and then Nick Sirianni's flicking off the home crowd, and like we just couldn't buy into them, but they've been good. They've been good since then. Your weather from the Desmond and Dover Law Firm.
Great text, and this means something to me. I've learned so much more about McDonald's on this show than any other sport or sports team, and to be honest, I'm not opposed to this. And that really is more important than to me, because you're not going to learn anything about sports on this show. I'm sorry, you're not.
No.
I don't care how much Crowder tries to pretend he knows football.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to learn about sports, but I know McDonald's.
Accurate. I mean, let's just think about it. Crowder, one interception in his career.
Entire career.
Hawk, at least, what, 200 McRibs eaten?
Maybe this year.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into... the mid-70s? That is your weather.
Jimmy, what do you give this first segment, a ball or a strike?
A ball.
We'll get into it.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You look slightly zooted.
You know, I might have tailgated a little bit.
Hawk and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Outer, what happened yesterday? You were telling me that you came on and you said, oh, they were making fun of you while you were off yesterday, and I had your back.
I got you. I had you for an hour.
And then all of a sudden you said, they were making fun of you, I had your back, except though when they started talking about you making a baby, and then I jumped on. And
so Solana, it
doesn't really sound like you had my back.
We down like a Cadillac with four flats.
Well, it doesn't sound like we are. It kind of, I think maybe you thought we were and I thought we were, but just based on your story, maybe not.
So Solana came in with the hair plug jokes. Mm. And I wasn't with it, Hawk.
I don't remember.
Low-hanging fruit, Solana. You're better than that.
I put the hoof down. I was like, Hawk embraces, you know, windows up, top down. That's my man. Hmm. Leave it alone.
That almost doesn't sound like you have my back.
I had to. I'm like, you embrace, you know, having a convertible. But then, who was it? Gelby? Was something about paternity leave where now, you know, you have somebody pregnant.
That's funny.
And Hawk, that was funny to say.
Well, to whom?
To think that you have a baby on the way.
You think at 55 I'm shooting blanks? Listen, just to shut you fools up, I'll have Lori pregnant by tomorrow.
But then OG got into the concept of like you at graduation on a walker. It was pretty, it was like, it was a funny concept.
Well, that unfortunately would be, that unfortunately at 55, if I were to father a child now, you ever see those pictures of like Robert De Niro's 81. You ever see the pictures of him like holding the newborn baby? I mean, what are we doing there?
What are we doing here?
Him and Al Pacino both just had kids. They're like Pacino's 79, De Niro's 81.
Yeah.
And they have newborns. So the concept was funny and I kind of jumped on it, but I know you would enjoy that like you just did. Now you just jumped into the joke. So I knew
No. And now, unfortunately, because I don't want more kids, but unfortunately for the bit now, just to shut you fools up, I have to have another baby.
I'm going to be the godfather.
You're going to be the acting father.
You gonna give them to me?
All right, Will Manso has more important stuff to do than this nonsense.
This fourth one looks different than the other three. yeah, he's a Hawkman.
Will Manso, he was up late last night. He's probably, probably saying, "Hey, what are we doing here? I got important things to do, and you guys are yip yapping about nonsense as you always do, and I just want to talk about Heat and Vice unis." Will Manso was up late last night. He's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, even though our phone lines are down, so he's on via StreamYard, and you see him obviously on FanDuel Sports Network Sun, and you watch him every night on WPLG Local 10. How's our connection, Will? We sound okay?
You guys sound great. I'm curious how I sound. Do I sound okay?
You sound great.
Okay.
I mean, you sound like you're in the room with us.
Look at that technology. I'm actually on my way there. I just got to get through the traffic, apparently, over by the station.
Well, now, here's the thing. I said this to Solana at the beginning of the show. You're coming off a Heat loss, but all of Heat Nation really seems to be talking about the return of the Vice unis. So there's like a yin and a yang, right? I mean, there was bad news, but then we've got some good news.
It's been quite the 24 hours, the contrasting of the loss, the 3-3 road trip, what happened last night, the Vice unis, and then what's next with Jimmy. So it's been every time I talk to somebody about the Heat, it's something a little bit different in the last couple of days.
Vice unis sound good, but it's the Jimmy thing. Like, what's going to happen with Jimmy? I don't know what Hawk's talking about. They're talking about the road trip.
The uniforms are more important. Hawk.
Yeah, of course.
They are not. What is Jimmy going to do? What are y'all talking about?
He's going to wear the Vice uniform. That's what he's going to do. He's going to wear a nice Vice uniform.
Where? At his coffee shop?
Apparently, yeah. By the way, I got a quick Jimmy coffee shop story if you want to hear it. So I'm always around that area because my youngest daughter goes to school pretty close to there. And I'm a coffee connoisseur. I Giselle's gotten me into drinking coffee and I enjoy it in the morning. And so I said, I'm going to go to Jimmy's shop. Now, this is right around the time that everything went down. So I'm like, I don't want to show up and he's there and make it a scene. I just want to get a coffee, right? So I drop my daughter off at school like I always do at 8:10 or so. And I drive to Jimmy's coffee shop. And it doesn't open till 9 o'clock. And I'm thinking, what kind of coffee shop doesn't open until 9 o'clock?
What?
I said, so that's my gripe. That's my big face coffee gripe. I haven't had a chance to try it because I wanted to put in a complaint and be like, hey, you got to open your coffee shop at 6, 7 a.m. I mean,
that makes no sense at all. I don't know where it's located. Is there
Midtown.
No foot traffic at
design
all?
Design district. Design district, which is, it's busy over there. And I say this jokingly because now obviously the topic of Jimmy is a little more important than his coffee right now. But I want to have a damn coffee at 8 in the morning. I don't want to wait till 9 in the morning. So long story short, I did not have it. I said, okay, I'll go somewhere else then.
Yeah, so I've never heard, because like Starbucks, when do they open? 6 a.m. maybe? 7 a.m. at
5
a.m.
Yeah, that's the time most people drink coffee before 9 a.m. No, is that true? I mean, I think most people 100%. Dropping off the kids to school, going to work. Anyways, so, you got to open up earlier, Jimmy. If you stay, you got to open up earlier. That's my gripe.
So his baristas are standing in the corner like he did on them last two games.
Stop. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think today we're going to get some clarity. Look, I think the Heat have an idea of what they want to do. He's under contract. They got to figure it out. And I think if Jimmy wants to come back and play to the best of his abilities and find a way, then I think he can return tomorrow. But do I think that's going to happen? No. I think that too much has happened, and I'm I'm curious to see how this plays out. You know, I'm scheduled to work tomorrow for Channel 10 and for Heat. So I have all kinds of coverage ideas as to what we're going to do. We just don't know what we're going to do just yet.
I find it all interesting because you can't peg what any of them are going to do. I'm talking about any of the parties, right? Because we don't really know what Mickey Arison is thinking. Ultimately, he's the guy writing the checks. We don't know Pat Riley. Pat Riley will say one thing and do another. I mean, that's one of the ways he's been a successful president for so long, front office executive, is that you don't always know what he's thinking, which is what gives you a leg up, I think, on competition. And Jimmy's a wild card himself. So I've said this to Crowder before. Like, I could see this thing where, oh, this is an irreparable schism between the two sides, and all of a sudden Jimmy goes out and scores 35 points and all is forgotten and he's in the winner's circle. I mean, you know what I mean? Or he may never take the court again.
The winner's circle. Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. I think in theory you're right, but I think we can read between the lines that there's more to this, you know, that it's not as simple as that. Like, in a perfect world, that sounds like the ultimate scenario. Jimmy comes back, he plays well, the Heat play well, and they figure out the rest. And I personally, my idea of what a meeting should look like is, Jimmy, you're under contract, just play. We understand your request. We'll take care of the trade part. We have to figure it out for the best of us, the best of you. Let's move forward, and that'll get worked out at some point. I just don't think that cooler heads will prevail in this case, because you're talking about two guys that clearly are very prideful. One, in the way he runs his own organization, and Pat Riley, who, by the way, if you're going to get in some sort of a match with Pat Riley as far as, you know, trying to outdo him on something, you're going to lose. I mean, you can't win that battle. It's his organization. So I'm not sure where Jimmy's headspace is, what he's thinking, but I would love to think, guys, that there's a happy ending tomorrow and we can move forward, but I don't know if that's the way it's going to work out.
And Will, I said this too. We've talked about it. Me and Hawk, we've argued about this. We're not argue about it, but just my whole take on it is Eric Spoelstra is about to be in a terrible situation. If he comes back, now I have to plan for a motivated Jimmy or a non-motivated Jimmy. Now I have to set my lineups if Jimmy's really playing or Jimmy's not really playing. Like, should they put Spo in that situation? I know, and we know the player option. We know it's about money. We know all the others, like you're saying, the outside ancillary pieces of this, the, you know, debate with the two sides. But now Spo is going to have to deal with this for a 5-hour window on every single game day.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond that too, Channing. And I'll take it another level. I think it goes beyond Spo, because I think Spo can handle anything. I think it goes to the players. It's not fair to his teammates. It isn't. It's not fair. And I know they're playing a lot of money, and I know that they've got to focus, and Spo's going to say, you know, keep the main thing, and we got this, and, you know, but it's easier said than done. It's not fair to me, to his teammates, to think, hey, A, is Jimmy coming back? What's the deal? And is he going to give us his all? Does, you know, he's already said he doesn't want to be here. That's a tough spot to go out there and trust your teammate and play together. So I think it goes beyond the one coach to the 15 guys, you know, the 14 other guys when you talk Jimmy, of playing a game, because it takes so much to win a game. And it's in this team, I mean, especially everybody's got to do their part. And if you question at all one of the guys is not doing his part or not trying his best to do his part, then how the hell do you play a basketball game? How do you play as a team? That's going to be the biggest step if Jimmy truly comes back, is getting back into that mix with his teammates.
Will, I know, look, this is a business at the end of the day, and everybody, I think, in that locker room can respect a player trying to do what's best for him and his family. But if you could inject Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero with truth serum and really find out what it is, how they feel about this situation, from what we've learned in a couple reports now, Jimmy doesn't think those guys are good enough to win a title with. And, you know, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy went to two finals together, and they were like the two dogs on the team. And then I know Tyler's been injured, and I know he struggled over the past couple years, but finally he's taken that hump. He's gotten over that hump this year, and he's been that dude this year. So how do you think they feel, truthfully, because I know what Bam's saying, right? Like, hey, that's our guy. We respect him. That is between him and the organization. Tyler's a little bit more honest with, like, we got enough. But how do you think they really feel, knowing that Jimmy no longer thinks that they're capable of helping him win a title?
I mean, they're human. I think they have to be hurt a bit. And look, none of this is new. I mean, while it was new to a lot of us in the media, and even though you could read, you know, you could see things coming, I think what ended up happening with the Jimmy press conference and what he said and the joy and all that stuff, I mean, I think his teammates sensed it a bit. I don't think that's fresh to them. The fact that it became public was very fresh, and it's very open because now they have to deal with the repercussions of those comments and of Jimmy's decision and whatever the organization does. They're human. They have to be hurt. They also are professionals, though, and I do think those guys would work with Jimmy and would figure it out if that's what it came to. But I think more than anything, they want clarity. Guys, I have one more thing to say on the situation that just drives me crazy. And this is the part I can't get over and understand. I understand the money. I understand that players are all different. I understand that, look, everybody wants to kind of make their point. But Jimmy recently, and I don't know if you guys saw this, there was a segment on the broadcast called Name That Dude. Did you guys catch that at all? It was like a little post-game segment. Anyways, the point of the little segment is, every player was asked like 10 different questions to see how well they know their teammates. They were told basically like, hey, who does this most? Who's got the best singing voice? Who's got this? You know, one of the questions was, and they didn't know anybody else's answers, who's the most competitive? The only question of the 10 that everybody got asked, every single player that answered unanimously the same answer, was who's the most competitive? And the answer was Jimmy Butler. So how is it that the most competitive guy on the team, and everybody knows is the most competitive guy on the team, wants to quit on the team? What sense does that make? I cannot figure it out, unless the competition is now Jimmy Butler versus Pat Riley, and it's a completely different competition. It's no longer about on the court. But his teammates value his competitiveness and his want and his desire. So how it came to this, I just can't figure out.
And Will, to that point, is this money? Because it all started, but you actually told us, I remember talking to you a couple weeks ago, and you were saying this has been building. This isn't just overnight. This whole situation been building. If they give Jimmy an extension, if they give Jimmy 3 years, $100+ million, would this be over? Or is now it got emotional, it got personal?
Like the Ravens and
Lamar
Jackson.
It would have been over if they would have, but here's the thing, guys, and I think this is obvious to everybody, again, without having to hear it. I think the moment that Pat Riley said, we don't have to give him a contract now, we're going to move on, you know, he's got to play, you know, whatever, shut up and play, all that stuff, availability, all those things, I think it was clear they weren't going to sign him. I think the Heat made their decision, you know, and I guess in a perfect world, if Jimmy had a great season and played hard and the Heat, you know, competed in the playoffs, had a chance to go to the final, great team, maybe they would have revisited it. But they had, let's not say the Heat didn't have their chance. They did. And business decision you're allowed to make. And as a player, you have your vision of what you want to do. In Jimmy's case, whether you want to pick up the option. But yes, this would have been over with a new contract and none of this would have happened. But I think the second that they said they were moving forward without giving Jimmy that extension, we were bound to get to this point. At some point, this was going to happen. I just think all of us wish it would have happened in the offseason and not now, 40 games into the season.
I think, though, as we talk it through, though, and you even say they all answered unanimously, the most competitive guy is Jimmy Butler. Obviously, everyone, the players to the front office, knows that he's the most competitive guy out there. So if you want to look back to, well, how did we get here? It was that Pat Riley postseason press conference, because Jimmy Butler's probably thinking to himself, wait a second, like you're essentially questioning my want to be out on the court. And you know how competitive I am. Everyone in this bleeping building knows how competitive I am. I think the funny thing is, I think that the postseason press conference was great because we need more of that in sports from front offices. But it also doomed the relationship. But it was probably a relationship that needed to be doomed at some point. So, can you look at that postseason press conference and say, you know what? It started the end of the Jimmy Butler era, but you know what? The Jimmy Butler era needed a kickstart to be over. And so maybe that was the greater plan.
I mean, it when we look back on it, Hawk, it could absolutely be the case. And I tell people this all the time when they get sad about Jimmy or this whole situation, because it is a bit sad. I mean, it stinks that this is what it's coming to. But to me, I'll never think poorly of the Jimmy Butler era and the relationship with the Heat. I think they both got the best of each other. I mean, they both did the two finals appearances, all the fun, the bubble, all the things that have happened. I'll always consider this a win. There will always be great memories. But I think sometimes things work right until they don't. And it could be that we just reached the point where it doesn't anymore. And that's okay. Things come to an end. And I think the Jimmy challenge from Pat, I don't think it's necessarily that it backfired. I just think that between that and the contract, it was clear that, hey, this is not the direction Jimmy wants to go. And this is the direction the Heat want to go. Look, the same press conference, Pat Riley called Tyler Hero fragile. And he's played every game and is likely going to make an all-star team. So things in a different way and challenges, and Pat's not afraid to make them, and he made them for Jimmy all these years, and Jimmy stood up to the challenge every single time. He was a great player over the course of the last six seasons, and maybe just that's run its course and it's time to do something else. We're going to find out very soon, but I'll never look at this as a bad situation no matter how bad it feels right now.
Do we know if Big Face Coffee is a success, like the storefront?
I mean, it looks pretty, and I hear the coffee's great. I think it's doing well, and the merch is cool. I just want to have a damn coffee. I just want to have
I just don't know. Like, is it? Have you been there, Solana? Is it a success?
No, I don't know if it's – it's probably too early to say if it's a success or not. If it's still open a year from now, then I guess you could call it a success. I'm just happy to know Will Manso went because, listen, I'm riding with the Godfather here, you know. And I wanted to go, but I didn't know, like, should we still go?
So if he gets traded, you'll never go to Big Face Coffee.
No, I'll go.
Will's a free thinker. You're a sheep of the Heat, Solana. We understand that. So I'm just like, Will's already told you.
I was gonna come in like a person who got arrested, like the police is waiting for him. No, hands up. I'm not here for any help. I just want a coffee. I don't want to be on Instagram.
It's like gang turf. You have to cover your FanDuel Sports Network colors on your shirt and come in as a civilian.
They're open from 9 to 1. They need to make one pot of coffee all day. This place is gonna fail.
What?
Yeah, are they open late?
I don't believe so, but I'm not a big. I don't like drinking afternoon coffee except for this week when it was the late night shows. But. Yeah, but I draw my kid off at 8:10, and I like to have a coffee. And I would have loved to, and I still would love to try one, but a little earlier. That's my one recommendation, just a little earlier.
Half a shift. Who's working there on a half a shift, four-hour days?
It is odd. It would be like a donut shop opening at 9 a.m. Like, they're known for opening early.
Let's open at noon.
All right, Will Manso from Local 10. Thank you, Will.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. The Heat Vice Unis are back. That's the big news coming out of the Miami Heat world. Ain't Jimmy Butler. It's the Miami Heat Vice Vice jerseys.
Are they going to be the opposite letter things again? That
No. It's the original Vice jerseys. The original
one. The pink and blues.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I like those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those were the one that set the sports world abuzz. Weren't they the first ever to do it, Solana?
Vice jerseys?
Like that kind of vibe, like just way out of the norm of what their jerseys looked like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're the first ones to do it, but there's no doubt that just like that Miami vibe and the fact that it was Vice and the fact that it was that colorway, it erupted. And it became like a life of its own.
That was a national story. Those unis were a national story.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd get me a Nikola Jovic.
Listen.
You'd be welcome on the postgame show.
Listen. I'm taking tabs of all the Nikola Jovic hate. I'm taking tabs.
You're going to be putting cases on all those bitches?
Nikola Jovic. Wild things happen and those are going to be accidents. I don't know when they're coming. You don't know when they're coming. That's why they're called accidents. You got to have your go-to accident attorneys. Victor DeMesmin, Jeremy Dover of the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. They are my accident attorneys, and I'm telling you, they're the best. You should give them a call. Car accidents, slip or falls, medical malpractice, hit by a truck, people whose loved ones died because something someone else did. If any of this happens in your life, I'm telling you, it's happened to me. Your life just changed in the snap of a finger. You're stressed out. Your family's stressed out. Everything changed. Let the Mesmer and Dover handle that stress. They'll take it all off of you. Deal with all insurance companies. Go over policies with you line by line so you know exactly what to expect and what they are fighting for. And they don't get paid a dime until settlement time. Call the Mesmer and Dover right now. If something happened in the past, call them and let them see the case. See what they can do for you today, tomorrow. Give them a call. It's a free consultation. Call them and just see what they can do for you. And I'm telling you, they can help you out. 866-954-MORE. That's 866-954-6673. No fees or costs to you unless you get paid. They're available 24/7. You'll actually get your attorney's cell phone number for around-the-clock access with any questions that pop up during these tough times. Car accident, slip and fall. Call your accident attorneys at the Mesmer and Dover Law Firm for that free consultation. The number again, 866-954-MORE, and online at youraccidentattorneys.com.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Throw the spinner!
Hawk and Crowder.